His experiences of Jesus. And last week we heard that Peter denied Jesus three times. Jesus is being on trial. It's a mock trial. And Peter says three times, "I don't know the man. I don't know him at all." Since then, Jesus has been put on a cross and he dies. But 3 days later, he rises to new life. It's a miracle. It's amazing. And it is exactly as Jesus said it would happen. Today we're going to hear that God is a God of restoration. He restores the relationship he has with Peter. But we're going to start off by looking at something that's broken. Don't try this at home, by the way. Not too bad. I was cringing the first time I saw it, thinking, is it going to explode? And it just bursts. For some reason, YouTubers do these wacky things. You can watch anything online nowadays. So that was like a Coke bottle being put under 100 tons of pressure. That bottle is broken beyond repair. It's completely destroyed. The plastic is torn in several places and weakened. The bottle cap is scratched. The Coke is all gone. You would think that there's no way that this Coke bottle is ever going to be made whole again. And this is what's happened with Peter's relationship with God. Or seemingly. We're God's creation. He's made us. He loves us. We were designed to love God and love each other, but we sin. We don't live the way that we're meant to. We don't honour God as number one, and we don't love him with all our heart. We don't love our neighbours as we love ourselves either. And Peter as well is a part of this. He's denied Jesus three times. Three times he said, "I don't know Jesus." He's lived with Jesus for 3 years. And he denies that he even knows him. The punishment that Peter deserves is for God to say, "I don't know Peter. Get away from me." But Jesus pays the price for Peter's sin. When Jesus first appears to the disciples, after he rose from the dead, he says to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus is able to give people peace because he has paid the price for their sin on the cross. But Jesus is also compassionate. And even though Peter's sins are forgiven, he gives Peter an appropriate restoration, which is what we read about in this passage. Jesus appears to them in a miraculous way with a miraculous catch of fish. They have breakfast and Jesus cooks for them and gives them bread and fish, and it's then that Jesus restores Peter. He says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Peter answers with, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs." There may have been silence after that. There may have been more conversation. We don't know. But what John is telling us is important is that it happens three times. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep." He asked him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep." Three times Peter is asked if he loves Jesus, and three times he says yes. Now, this is not a case of Jesus making sure that Peter understood him. You know how sometimes you're out with your family, kids, and you do something wrong, and your parent says, "When we get home, you're going straight to your room." And then they tell you two or three times on the journey home. Now, remember, when we get home, you're going straight to your room. And then when you get home, remember, straight to your room. I don't know whether your parents actually do that. I hope there's some discipline. But this is not Jesus telling Peter three times because he thinks Peter doesn't understand. Nor is it selective hearing. You know how you're watching the TV and your parents say, "Turn the TV off." Nothing happens. "Turn the TV off." And again, "Turn the TV off." And okay, click it off. It's not selective hearing. The point is that it happens three times. Last week, we heard that Peter said three times, "I don't know Jesus." Three times. "I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him." This time, Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me?" "Yes." "Do you love me?" "Yes." "Do you love me?" "Yes." Peter doesn't get it. He's a little bit slow. But he's given an opportunity to declare his faith and to declare that he trusts in Jesus. So Peter probably has a duh moment later. I denied him three times. And then I said, I love him three times. Oh, I get it. Oh, man, John was walking behind. He probably heard it and he'll write it down. Oh, man, people are going to know. Now it's clear from the Bible that this is not Peter paying off his sin. Jesus does that on the cross. Peter says this here. He says, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God." Who pays the price for Peter's sin? It's Jesus. Peter isn't here going through the same motions and doing the right thing so that he can pay it off. It's already paid by Jesus. And so the application for us is, if Peter can be restored, if Peter, who lived with Jesus for 3 years and then says, "I don't know him," can be restored to Jesus, then anyone can. Your family, your friends can be restored to Jesus. No matter how much you've ignored God or denied him or turned away from him, you can come back. The way back is Jesus. He fixes the relationship. Our relationship with God might have seemed like that bottle, broken beyond repair, but Jesus is able to do the impossible. He can fix it because he's died on the cross for our sins. So if there's something holding you back from trusting in Jesus, if you think you're not worthy, or you think my sin is too great, I've just stuffed up too many times, don't listen to that lie. This is a list of sins that the parents might understand and can chat with you one day about. A list of things that people have done. But verse 11 is particularly important. It says, "And some of you used to be like this, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And washed and sanctified means made holy, able to be in God's presence, clean in God's sight, without sin. And so, some people have done some really, really bad things in history, and they've been able to turn to Jesus and be saved. So all of us, whether we've lived a good life or a bad life, can come to Jesus. If Peter can be restored to God, if these people here can as well, then so can you. A restoration. If you're afraid to come back to God, remember that he's a God of restoration. He's kind and merciful. He restores Peter and longs to restore us too. In Peter's restoration, we also see that Jesus gives him an appropriate place to serve. Each time that Jesus asks John, "Do you love me?" he then says, "Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, and feed my sheep." Just like Jesus cared for his sheep, his people, he looked after them, he taught them and gave them spiritual nourishment, Peter's called to do the same. Take care of my lambs, feed my sheep, shepherd my flock, remind them of God's truth. It's an appropriate place for Peter, who lived with Jesus for 3 years. He knows Jesus' teaching inside and out. Jesus actually commissioned the disciples and sent them out. It makes sense for Peter to keep teaching God's word. So Peter is called to serve in an appropriate place. He's called to feed the sheep, to teach them. And just like Peter, we are called to be a part of God's people. It's hard to live for Jesus and honour him. Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my sheep, teach them." And so this passage reminds us that we need to be taught by Jesus as well. We need to be taught the Bible by people. But we're also all a part of the body of believers. We're called to use our gifts to serve people. I think I've clicked too many times. There's a passage. Oh, here it is. And so for us, we are called to serve in an appropriate place. Whatever gift you have, whatever God's given you, we're to use that to help others. This says, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. If service, in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity, leading with diligence, showing mercy with something else. But kids, as you grow up, you want to be thinking, what am I good at? how can I love and serve other people? How can I build up people so that they might be helped to live for Jesus? Whether that's talking to someone, including someone, listening to your leaders at kids' church. What gift do you think God has given you? And how can you use it to serve God's people? Like Peter is called to serve in an appropriate place, using what he has for God's people, we also are called to do that as well. And the motivation for doing that is love for Jesus. Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And he says that 3 times. And if Peter does, which he says he does, then Peter is to use his gifts to serve the church. The motivation for serving others is Jesus. So when we come together, we want to be thinking, how can I love other people? Because of what Jesus has done for me. Because I love Jesus, I'm going to serve others. When I was in year 6, me and a few friends decided to join the choir. It was our last year at primary school, and we thought, yeah, let's do it all together and have some fun. And as often happens in year 6, many of the girls had their growth spurt. They were all growing pretty tall, and I was still a little bit behind. I was a bit shorter than all of them. And when it came to place people in the choir, I was in the 3rd row, right in the middle, before the 4th row, which was behind me, with all my friends that were taller than me. And I just missed out on being on the end of the 4th row, which was really where I wanted to be, because, you know, pride. We're all standing in our new lines, beginning to practice our first song, when a boy from year 5, the year below me, walks in the door. He's almost the same height as me, but I think he's a little shorter. And he says, "Oh, sorry I'm late, I want to join the choir, where do I stand?" And the teacher says, "Oh, you can stand there, right on the end row at the 4th height, like up at the top." I'm thinking like, what? I was furious. I was so excited, thinking, he'll have to stand in my spot, and I'll get to go and stand on the end with all my friends. He's in year 5, he's not even in year 6. And had he been here on time, like he should have been, he would have been standing where I was, and I would have gotten to stand up the top. But we finished singing the song, and the teacher says, "Right, remember where you're standing? That's where you're standing for the entirety of the year." What? I was immensely unhappy with that. I was put in the wrong position. And I actually remember going up to the boy sometime during the year and actually measuring us up, so saying, like, I shouldn't have done this, and kids don't do something like this. But like measuring up just so that he knew that he was meant to be where I was, and I was meant to be on that top row. It wasn't as terrible as I'm making it out to be, but I was pretty unhappy. It actually affected the way that I was in the choir. I had the grumps with it. It wasn't as fun as it should have been for me. And the reason was, I was in the choir for fun. I was in the choir for me, to have my needs served and my needs met. I wanted to be with my friends and enjoy myself singing with others. I didn't necessarily want to be part of the team, singing songs, being in a place that's helpful. And sometimes it's possible when we come to church, we act like that. Because our world is all about individually consuming, coming for yourself rather than to serve others. So this might be a possible motivation for coming to church. I come for the sermon and to talk with my friends. That's a good motivation, but God could possibly refine that motivation a little bit to say, come to church because you love Jesus and you want to serve God's people. They might also be your friends, which is great, but come willing to serve others. Church is about using your gifts, loving Jesus, and also loving others. And so if you have that focus when you come to church of, I want to love Jesus and love his people, it shifts your focus. It'll change what you do at church. It might affect how often you come, how you listen to people, how you also talk to people. You want to speak kindly and encouragingly. You might even ask for prayer points and pray for somebody on a Sunday. You may even call somebody during the week to say, "Oh, I've been praying about that matter that we talked about. How are you going?" It'll mean using your gifts at church, not for yourself or for your own glory or for your fun or for pride, but for Jesus, to honour him. Jesus says to Peter that exercising his gifts will actually lead him to his death. Verse 17, Jesus says, "Feed my sheep. I assure you, when you were young, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go." He said this to signify by what kind of death he would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, "Follow me." We can't be 100% certain, but strong tradition tells us that Peter died by crucifixion. And this passage seems to support it. Peter, using his gifts of feeding and nourishing the flock, leads to his death. If he doesn't teach God's people, he'll live a comfortable, happy life. Peter has a hard life ahead of him. And for us, sometimes using our gifts will be hard. You might feel uncomfortable using your gifts sometimes. Using your gifts will involve sacrifice, putting others first and yourself last. And we can chat about how you might use your gifts in the best way for God's glory and honour. We want to help you to be comfortable in using your gifts and growing in your ability to use them. But remember, when we come together, the focus is Jesus. We serve each other because we love him. And we only love him because he first loved us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that though our relationship with you was broken like a broken bottle, beyond repair, you repaired it. We thank you that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that Peter's restored to you, and that anyone can be restored to God. Help us here, those of us who haven't yet come to you for restoration, to come to you. Thanks for giving Peter an appropriate place to serve, and we ask that you would help us to use our gifts to honour you. We ask that the motivation for serving others would be our great love for you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.